This is Section 6, Special Systems, in the PDH online course, Electrical Engineering Design for Schools. Special systems, public address, clocks, and bells. Clock systems typically do not work well or long. Many funding agencies are requiring inexpensive quartz clocks in the classrooms instead. There are few national suppliers who work with protected distributors. That is, you pay the local guy's commission whether you use his help or not. Consult the architect and owner for preferences, then let the distributor design it for you. Public address is almost always includes the bell function today. There are few national suppliers of school PA systems. Again, they tend to use protected distributors. Try not to include the intercom in the PA. It works much better as part of a telephone speakerphone. And we talked about voice over IP previously. Special systems, lightning protection. Optional narrative, watch out for the smoke and mirrors. The science involved in lightning strikes is only now beginning to be understood. Statistically, local regions can predict the number of hits per month, but not the locations. At this time, the only UL-approved lightning protection system is a series of Franklin air terminals about 20 feet apart around the perimeter of the roof and crisscrossing it at slightly greater spacing. There must be numerous downcomers of 4-aught braided copper and a ground ring circling the building. If you specify a copper bronze NFPA 780 system with a UL master system label, you will have exercised due diligence. A number of installers can bid on it, and the owner will get a totally conventional system. The installer will recommend relaxing the specification to aluminum conductors and hardware. This is an advantage for him, but not for you or for the owner. Copper conducts better, and you really want to get that stuff conducted away. A very friendly fellow in a check suit may offer you an active lightning protection system. He will have documents and pictures, but will not have UL label. Make sure you understand who takes the liability for a destructive strike and consequential damages after the installation, and see if a maintenance contract is required. Because if he's going to have to lay out $50,000 or $100,000 after you get a hit, it's going to come out of your pocket at some point in the transaction. Back to main text, specify a copper bronze NFPA 780 system with a UL master system label. Take the PDH online course on lightning protection if you want details. NFPA 780 has a computation form to use in determining whether a lightning protection system is required or not. It's self-explanatory and always yields the same result. Decide for yourself. Lightning protection is installed when a catastrophic lightning strike is well remembered by one of the persons on the school side of the table. And obviously there are parts of the country that get a lot of hits and it would be foolish to do anything else. The form is reproduced in the written version of this, and it looks like you filled out a form when you filled out the form. It's just there's nothing you can do in the form to change the outcome. The outcome is always install it if you want. Good grounding system, including rooftop, is required by the National Electric Code. There is no choice. Franklin rods or an active lightning avoidance system is optional and almost certainly more expensive than rebuilding after a strike. Be warned that components of a Franklin system bring 50 to 75 cents per pound on the scrap market. It's common to visit a school roof and find only mounting holes where the lightning rods and cables were installed. Special systems, fire alarm. Fire alarm is a hardcore life safety item. As with other special systems, there are local vendors who will be very pleased to design the system for you and usually provide the PE seal required by the local building standards department. Very, very rarely, another firm will bid on a job based on a proprietary specification. This may be advantageous to the owner, especially if he wants to duplicate an existing system at other locations and simply extend his maintenance contract. The principles of fire alarm design are pull stations, smoke detectors, heat detectors, kitchen tie-in, elevator tie-in, sprinkler tie-in, strobe speakers, annunciator, and water flow bell. There must be a pull station within 5 feet of every personnel exit door from the building. Consider plastic guards that sound locally so that everybody turns to look to see who pulled the thing. If you don't have that, somebody pulls it and you hear the ding, 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 but you don't know whether it was your part of the building that initiated or somebody up in the front office. And again, these little buzzer covers that I should remember the name, but it's eludes me at the moment. They're expensive, you know. They cost almost as much as the pole station. But again, it's a deterrent to vandalism and false alarms, and it helps you catch the guy who's acting up. I mean, there's a lot of benefit in doing this, if there's any question at all. Smoke detectors go every 30 feet down the halls in restrooms and places of assembly. They cost about $50 each installed, so be generous. Heat detectors go in the boiler rooms, mechanical rooms, kitchen, art room, any place that vapors might be present to cause false alarm on the smoke detectors. Again, think $50 each installed. If the kitchen has a chemical suppressant fire protection system, then the system must be connected to the central fire alarm, mostly for notification of trouble. There are details on fire alarm elevator connections. See the elevator detail near the beginning of the course. For this section, just be aware there are several communications channels between the elevator controls and the fire alarm control panel. The plumber must install sprinkler flow switches and valve tamper switches. The fire alarm must accept signals from them. Strobe speakers and a voice notification alarm are recommended. As indicated in the earlier section, cost increment is minimal. Life safety benefits are substantial. The water flow bell outside the building has nothing to do with the fire alarm, but the sprinkler guys don't like to install water-driven bells, so we usually put in an electric bell as part of the fire alarm. Some localities also require an outside strobe to tell the firefighters which building is in alarm. And again, for $50, if you see any benefit at all, put it in. Let somebody do the cost cutting separately. I think that's what construction managers are for. An annunciator is a small screen that indicates where the detector is located that initiated the alarm conditions. Vendors like to sell LCD graphic screens. Firefighters and persons over 50 years of age with old eyes prefer an etched graphic with LED indicators. Special systems theater lighting. This story is getting repetitive. There are only a few national manufacturers. They have protected distributors. No matter who you buy from, the authorized distributor gets the commission. It would appear reasonable to have him help with the design and specification. This is all true, but the rep will give you a drawing which can be read only by his firm and his factory. The factory provides the software to prepare these diagrams quickly and accurately. A few competitors may be able to decipher the diagram and no description parts list, but this is dangerous for them. Also, how do you review the shop submittals? Second, major U.S. manufacturers are from 20 to 50 years behind the state of the art. Broadway, Europe, and the rest of the world use something called DMX 512, a digital protocol with digital light bulbs, remote dimming modules, and automated spotlights. Spotlights from Australia have 2 to 5 times the luminous efficiency of U.S. models and offer long life lamps and dichronous reflectors that reduce heat on the stage. The significance of this for schools is that kids don't have to handle hot equipment, don't have to climb ladders for lamp replacement as often, and equipment and conductors are smaller and less expensive. Optional narrative. I enjoy designing theatrical lighting. You can do a credible job after spending about 2 hours at the local library skimming books on the subject. They give many examples, and it's easy to extract the common form and apply it to your job. The local rep will review the design for you, but it leaves a bad taste in his mouth to have to actually bid a job. Be warned, though, that you will need more circuits than you expect. A 48-channel dimmer with 48 outgoing circuits is about minimum. And this is even for an elementary school. Outgoing raw power with remote dimmer modules is very attractive design-wise, but more complicated to design and more complicated to revise when you receive comments. Special systems, television production. Optional narrative. The problem with electrical design for television production is that there are so many different ways to handle the studio and control room. Everyone has opinions. There will be space and financial constraints, guaranteed. Without exception, though, there will be many conduits or trenches connecting the consoles with the racks and the control room with the studio. It's essential to segregate power and video and audio. Fire stopping is required by code, but must be in a form to permit frequent cabling changes. Returning to core text, invest in the effort to get a good scope of work. What is included? What the limitations are? Provide at least 50% spare conduits, maybe 100%. Expect layout and scope revisions, including moving to a different part of the building. Oh, is that a surprise when it happens? It happens so often. Special system satellite dishes and miscellaneous antennas. Satellite dishes and wiring, miscellaneous antennas and wiring, are not really an electrical design responsibility. On the other hand, they exist or will exist, and somebody has to keep track and coordinate with the general trades. The three problems: structural mounting, grounding lightning protection, and cable entry to the building. Communication suppliers and end users have very creative definitions of minimal mounting, including things like rope and rags tied together. National Electric Code requires equipment be securely mounted, and the National Electric Code includes communication devices and cables in Articles 810 and 820. The National Electric Code requires that metal structures on the roof be grounded. Even if you are not putting in lighting rods, you need 2 4-aught copper downcomers, ground rods, and tie-in to the building ground ring. You can connect everything on the roof to a single line. Cable problems include cable type and building entry. If the cable is to be routed through above ceiling return airspace, then it must be plenum rated. The required coordination with roofers, glazers for penetrations has been addressed previously. In a renovation job, any abandoned cables in place must be removed. You need a list of dishes and antennas and to check off each as it is coordinated with its owner and provider. Optional narrative. How do you know if unlabeled cables are in use or not? There's no way you can know if they're in use or not. Rip them out to comply with the code and wait for the screams. We'll have a short conclusion to finish the course, and then you must look into taking the test. But this concludes our section on special systems.